Eminem, he doesn't change as much during this film, but he sort of reminds me of, you know how in Showgirls, Elizabeth Berkeley's character is just angry and then she's okay? It reminds me of that, where he's kind of just like, there's a switch in his performance that either he can just be neutral or really angry.
Eminem only ever did one film vaguely based on his life. And the fact it's directed by Curtis Hanson, who directed LA Confidential, and I was always fascinated by it, and I was like, yeah, I want to talk about a sports film wrapped in hip hop, please.
Hey everybody, welcome to Flix Watcher Podcast. Today I'm joined by Petros.
Hey, fuck the free world.
Ariane.
Hi.
And Helen.
Hello.
And also Patty, it seems. And we're going to be talking about 8 Mile.
Thank you, as always, to the Mighty People for the mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod and on Instagram
at FlixWatcher.
Hello, film fans. Welcome to Flix Watcher. Joining us remotely today, we have Petros and Ari. If you could please say hello to our listeners, tell them a little bit more about who you are and what you do, please.
Hi, I'm Ari Anindita. I'm a writer, comedian, musician, filmmaker, film podcaster person. I do lots of things.
Boring.
But, yeah, no, right? My God, so lame. I also do HR at an engineering firm. So but yeah, so I do. I have a podcast with the Breadcrumbs Collective called Driptown Lemery, Maine, where I talk about things that are too, you know, new for people to be feeling nostalgic about, but I'm pretty young, so I'm allowed to do that. Things from the 2000s and 2010s. I was a part of the PCC podcast. You guys had my buddies Phil and John on here a while ago.
Yep.
And they're lovely. I used to do that with them. And yeah, that's me.
So what kind of feedback do you get from a trip down memory lane when you talk about something recent? The people, the old people like me go, that's not nostalgic.
That's not nostalgic. It's like, you're a baby. I always get that. Or like, I've never heard of this before. What are you talking about? Or I didn't know Hannah Montana had this much drama going on during production. It's things like that, you know? Yeah, I'd win a pub quiz about Disney stuff, but you know.
I'm definitely on the older side now. I'm had to have someone explain who Billie Eilish was to me. that kind of thing. Yeah. So
Billie Eilish, TikTok, and Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah, TikTok's also not.
TikTok is
not for me.
I don't get it either. So I'm with you there.
It's good for cat content.
That's true.
It seems it's good for everything content, but I just don't get it.
It's really hard to navigate because you just keep scrolling and you can't just pop out for a bit like YouTube, you know? It's bizarre.
Well, the one that when I realized that I was too old in terms of social media was Snapchat, because they don't make it easy to navigate at all.
No.
And that was the thing. I think they purposely made it quite difficult, so it made older people like give up easily, but whereas young people would just persevere, and within like a few days you get it, but someone who's just trying for the first time is like, this makes no sense. Yeah. Anyway,
stick to your Facebook oldies.
exactly. Instagram. P Rabbit, sorry, Petros, who are you?
Hello, I am Petros Patsilivas. I am first and foremost the host of the Caged In podcast, which started off as a Nicolas Cage deep dive and has evolved into a wider look at the Coppola family. I'm trying to find out, are they the greatest film family of all time by watching every single film that family have had something to do with?
Had you always planned to split out from Coppola, from Nick Cage, when you got to end? Because it's obviously the family tree there is quite extensive, isn't it?
No, I had no idea what I was going to do. And then as 2020 happened, and like the slate of films that Nick Cage normally would release in a year, I realized, oh, this is going to grind to a halt at the beginning of 2021. And then I think I just came up with, like, we've got to know Nick Cage. let's find out a bit more about him by understanding the family in which he came from. And like when that kind of twigged in my brain, I went, oh, that's an interesting avenue to take. And I know a lot of people don't know that connection with Nick Cage as well. And I thought it's
Schwartzman, for example.
Yeah. It's insane. Like whilst doing the prep for it, I kind of figured out there's like people who like marry into the family, and it kind of seems like they're
legally Coppolas.
And their career just like blossoms. So like Spike Jonze, for instance.
Is he part of the Coppola clan?
He married into it.
Yeah, he was married to Sofia Coppola.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine.
Yeah. And then it was Francis Ford Coppola was offered being John Malkovich. And then he went, here's a slice of nepotism for Spike. And
Delicious
then it's like,
nepotism.
Boom, we've got Spike Jonze's whole career off the back of that. Like, yeah, so it's crazy.
Oh, that's great. Listen, yeah, the Coppola family is super. I don't tend to know about marriage stuff. Mm-hmm. Who's going out with who or who's married to. That kind of leaves me kind of dry, but... I have done some Wikipedia deep dives into the Coppola family. Schwartzman was my kind of like, wait, what?
Yeah.
kind of connection.
They're all related in some way.
It's an inside job, all of it. Hollywood.
Well, we are here today, guys, to talk about 8 Mile, which is your choice, Petros. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us first of all why you chose it? And then I'm going to bring up a timer. And you've got 60 seconds or less to explain the synopsis.
I chose it. One, I think it's relatively new at time of recording on Netflix, and it kind of...
Is this, just going to Ari here, is this relatively new in terms of your podcast, 2002? Is that, would that figure?
It's early, well early, but yeah. Yeah. It's not that new. I've seen 8 Mile before, you know. I'm not that young. I know all the lyrics to Lose Yourself, don't worry.
Back to you, Petra, sorry.
I think it's the fact that like, I was 12 when this film came out, so I would have seen it on like a bootleg DVD at the time, passed around like my school, and I've just always had a fondness for it. And I just thought like it's an oddity as well. Obviously, like Eminem only ever did one film, it's vaguely based on his life, and the fact it's directed by Curtis Hanson, who directed L.A. Confidential, and I was always fascinated by it, and I was like, "Yeah, I want to talk about a sports film wrapped in hip hop, please."
Okay, I'm just gonna get the timer up. Let's do the synopsis. So, 3, 2, 1, go.
Jimmy James Jr. is a aspiring rapper who works at a steel pressing plant in Detroit and is trying to get to the next level in his career by getting a mixtape done with his buddies and friends, his crew, part of the 313. And in Detroit, it seems to be that rap is king, that it's the battleground of Coliseum. So whilst he's trying to navigate this existence of trying to get out of this deadbeat living, he's trying to make it to the next level as a rapper and goes up against the Free World battle crew. So I'm here to say, fuck the Free World. Less than a minute.
Ari, you said you know every single word to Lose Yourself.
I know the first
Does that make you a fan of this film?
I like this film. I know the rest of the song when it comes on. I adore this film. I watched it the same way from like a, ooh, there goes the timer.
Yep.
I watched it for the first time the same way Petros did, bootleg DVD, but it was from my cousin, because in Indonesia, we don't really get a lot of these kind of films, like in theaters anyway. And I was like, six when this film came out, so I couldn't see it. Yeah, I was like six or something. I don't know. And then, yeah, my cousin had it on a bootleg DVD, and we all watched it like in the middle of the night. We stayed up super late because we couldn't have our parents catch us watching, you know, a film with like sex scenes and swearing and rapping. And it's like, yeah, it was a good time. It was really like, whoa, this is so cool.
Helen, where you are on 8 Mile?
God, I feel like an ancient granny. So I was like, must have been at least 20 when I saw this. I went to the cinema to see this. I saw it at the cinema. Yeah, seemed to enjoy it there. And I had not seen it since. I don't know why. Maybe I thought I'd got my fill. I'm not sure whether watching it now, I had the same kind of enthusiasm for it. There's a few things that I'm a bit like, that was a bit kind of cringe, or a bit like, oh,
that didn't age well. But,
well, the sex scene is pretty cringe, I think.
Yeah.
I thought it was cringe then.
Yeah.
Yeah. pretty hilarious.
It's very CW. It's very TV.
miscast Kim Basinger, however you want to say it. She's not trailer trash. They didn't even like give her like fake teeth or like makeup to make her look.
They gave her an accent. Bit trashy. That's it.
And like, spoiler, I completely forgot. But like, the song's not in it. Like, you have to wait until like the entire credits, and then it's like, oh, where's the song? I wanted to sing Mom's Spaghetti to like every line in it.
Well, you did. Yeah. You do get that moment where he's like writing that song,
yeah,
where you kind of get like of lines of it, don't you? Yeah, yeah. And you get like the backing vocals that I never knew before. It's like, you gotta get one shot and stuff like that.
One shot. Yeah, I remember that. I was like, what? You don't hear the whole song.
Not the whole song.
No.
Very sad about that.
And that's, I think I'm like yourself. I saw it. I don't know if I saw it at the cinema, but I've only seen it once. And I think like yourself, I was just like, yeah, I've got it. I've got the song, which is the best bit of it. And I'm sure I've gone on YouTube and YouTube the battles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the rest of the film for me is a bit crap, to be honest with you. And there's a lot of actors in there that Kim Basinger like kind of wasted. Michael Shannon's like, oh, Michael Shannon's in this. Mm-hmm. Why is Michael Shannon in this? Mm-hmm. Well, fair enough. Mekhi Phifer, Anthony Mackie. So it's got some good actors. It's got some good talent in there. I don't think Eminem's that bad as an actor. Certainly, I've seen a lot worse actors. I don't think, in fact, I think he's quite good in this.
Yeah.
I don't understand really why he hasn't done any other films apart from Probably Just Thought I Can't Be Bothered.
It was apparently quite an intense experience because he's in every single scene.
Yeah.
So like every single scene he's in. So he's probably like, fuck that. I'm not making films if it means I have to do this all the time.
Yeah, I can imagine that being the case. But yeah, I think there was just bits. The whole kind of film just didn't sit together with me that in the same way, I think, as it must have done the first time, or maybe it did the first time. And I just thought, maybe subconsciously, I thought, I don't need to see this anymore because I'm not sure what else I'm going to get from it. Like, I don't understand the story with Brittany Murphy. I don't know why she needs to be in there, really. I don't understand kind of the conflict that was going on at home. I just don't know what was underpinning a lot of the story. Do you know what I mean? I think they made it too convoluted. I think it could have been stripped down and been a bit simpler. His strife, his trying to get out, but his circumstances not letting him. And, you know, 40 minutes shorter and a few more hip-hop scenes, I think, would have been good. A few more battle scenes would have been nice. But, yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
I like the aspect that it's kind of it very much sits in that mold of the first Rocky film. Like, everyone kind of like looks at that franchise a lot of the time with like rose tinted spectacles and think all it is like boxing. But it's the exact same kind of framework that this film plays, where it's like
the underdog story,
and you're building up to that kind of final bout. And like, when you in both films, when you get to them, like, they're really good. But I think it's the mundanity and the kind of compounding nature of all of the aspects of Jimmy's life that are kind of one by one falling down. Some of it's down to him as well, obviously. Like, there's some underlying anger issues that he needs to sort out. Yeah, there's obviously
volatile Jimmy.
There is a Jimmy Jones Senior who obviously has some answering to do. The fact that he's not on the scene and has probably left this young man with a lot of issues unresolved. But I think I enjoy, I really, as I said, I watched it a lot when I was younger and probably like didn't pick up on all of the other stuff in it. But I think as much as it is a film about like his struggle, you get glimpses into how it's like about Detroit as well. And I think like Detroit is like a really good like character almost. Do you know what I mean? Like the city itself, because you kind of, he's like an avatar for everyone who kind of lives there. Like, it is this still city, and like a lot of people kind of are under this pressure of having to work in factories and kind of maybe want to aspire to more, and it's just rife with crime. And you get that in scenes where it's like when they go down to burn that house down because a guy like raped someone in there and stuff like that. And there are issues with this film. I guess one of the ones I'd point out is the kind of derogatory homophobic language. But I think one that's very indicative of 1995 when this film is set, and unfortunately is very indicative of hip hop culture and music up until very recently, it's only within like the last 10 years, and that's really a push that it's been that long, that it's kind of like that language hasn't been prevalent throughout that genre. It's kind of with the introduction of someone like Frank Ocean, that in the mainstream at least, people like are kind of a lot more open.
Ari, mm-hmm. I don't know, have your thoughts changed since when you saw it at six to your current age?
I saw it at eight, but I saw it 2 years after it came out. It has changed a lot in the sense that I think when I was younger, you were focused on, like, as we all were, sort of focused on the rap part, you know, all the battles, and that's the thing that we sort of took away. But upon rewatching it, I really enjoyed the whole aspect of, like, him and his friends, so, like, him and Future, Mekhi Phifer's character. Like, I really like that. It's a story about friendship, and there's this, like, you know, the underpinning of that is, like, their own masculinity, the fact that they can still sort of they're comfortable enough to sort of express that they care about each other without it being a dick measuring contest, you know, like they still sort of will call each other out on their shit, or they'll still get angry but forgive each other. And I really, like, I didn't expect that the second time around watching it. I thought it was just going to be a super, like, dude bro film, you know, but I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And I can't stop thinking about this one line. I think it's from the last battle, and one of the rappers in there, there's this one bar where he just goes at Eminem and says he looks like the guy from Leave It to Beaver, and I thought I don't know why that got to me, that made me laugh, it made me giggle. And it's a great line. And even after that battle's finished, Eminem was like, oh yeah, that line really got me, like, that threw me, and I was like, yeah, I love that. There's definitely, like, a lot of, like, it did not age well, and I don't think anybody expected it to anyway, but I wonder if Eminem were to do any films again, I wonder if he would consider ever playing a rapper or playing somebody closer to his story ever again. It's quite interesting now to think about.
Well, what are your thoughts, Helen, on that? I mean, I don't know, on Eminem as a character, as an actor.
Well,
in general, were you a fan of his music before this?
Yeah, like, his first two albums were kind of fun album stuff. Mm. They're pretty cool. I mean, the problem I think I have a little bit, like you, Kobe, is he doesn't really have much. There's not much of an arc in this. There's not much of a story. He's kind of like an underdog, and he kind of, like, freezes and he gets the stage fright. But then there's no, like, steps. Like, I don't know if I kind of, like, zoned out and I miss kind of, like, the key moment or the key event that kind of, like, fixes that. And he doesn't really, like, overcome much of his kind of, like, troubles, other than, like, using violence or kind of said it's starting fights. And it's a bit like he just kind of goes from being having had stage fright to, like, being all right because he's had a few fights. So I'm not sure whether I just kind of, like, zoned out or that, but yeah, the story, there's not much meat to it once you kind of get over the fact it's, like, Eminem being really good, and there is kind of some kind of great, like, rap battles in there. Mm. Like, seeing you know, when the one with Exhibit
in the lunch queue.
It's, like, brilliant. As soon as he's kind of, like, his presence in there just, like, elevates it up to, like, a you know, like, up there, and the rest of it kind of feels a little bit flat. So there are some, like, moments that I kind of, like, feel really energized, but his story isn't really that fantastic. And I, you know, when his mum's like, oh yeah, I won at bingo, I'm like, oh, I'm just trying to, like, imagine her, like, sitting playing bingo. Maybe bingo in America is a little bit different to bingo over here.
Yeah.
So there's just, like, some things where I think it's a bit unintentionally, like, it's a bit weird.
Yeah. Got her Kim Basinger is hilarious in this, man.
Do you guys ever watch any rap battles independently of 8 Mile? There's quite a few on YouTube you can.
Yeah.
I've entered one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
As you do.
Can we watch it on YouTube?
You cannot watch it on YouTube. It was at a bar in Brighton, and I remember I've always been fascinated. Well, I've always loved hip hop music and stuff like that. Anyway, and I think I'd had a few too many drinks, and my mates were like,
"That's how it starts."
Yeah. Well, no, it doesn't. Everyone else was, like, drinking, like, pints of water.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they looked like the guys in this film. They kind of had the oversized hoodies, the baggy jeans, a lot of, like, heads down, a lot of flat peak caps on, do you know what I mean? Like, fitted caps and stuff like that. And then there's me holding a bottle of Magners or something on stage. And I got what I wanted, which was I delivered a line, which I can't remember at all, but I got a, like, a, a, oh, "Oh!" from the crowd, which is that was what I went there for. But I still lost my first round, but I didn't choke. So
he got his mum's spaghetti. That's the he got
exactly.
Yeah. Is there anything else, guys, want to say before we head to the scores?
I wanted to kind of talk about how, like, Eminem. He, like you said, yeah, he doesn't change as much during this film, but he sort of reminds me of, you know how in Showgirls, Elizabeth Berkeley's character is just angry and then she's okay? It reminds me of that, where he's kind of just like, there's a switch in his performance that either he can just be neutral or really angry. And I thought that was like, is this good for Eminem? Or is this just like good for the context of this film? Or is it even good at all? Or is it, yeah, like, you know, yeah, I've been thinking a lot about Eminem as a artist recently. Just like, I'm not a fan of his current music, but I used to know all the words of the real Slim Shady. So it's a very contrasting thing. What do you guys feel about Eminem as like a, you know, piece of pop culture?
I mean, I looked again, like Helen, I love the first two albums. I think there's some astonishing stuff in there. I think it always works better with Dr. Dre in there to kind of fight off against his vocals. But I think, for me, a lot of the R&B and hip hop culture, I think multiple voices in there make it sound so much better than a single voice for me. And there's no denying his talent. And there's one of my favorite documentaries, The Defiant Ones, which is on Netflix at the moment. It talks about Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre. Oh, yeah. It's like a three series long, and talks about, so you find out where Eminem came from and Dr. Dre. And it's really, really cool seeing how it was essentially, he sent a tape in to lots of people. And one of them was Dr. Dre, and Dr. Dre listened to him and was like, this kid sounds good. So for me, in the back of my mind, watching 8 Mile again, I was thinking he has made this demo and it's got to Dre somehow, or the equivalent of Dre in this alternative universe. So yeah, he's great. But I think like a lot of rappers, and I guess this is my age as well, Kanye West, no idea what he's doing. Don't give a toss. Recent Eminem stuff, don't care. Yeah. Even people like, again, I think it's just my age. I don't know what Drake is, really.
I don't even know what Drake is.
He's and Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar is like, again, I think I'm just...
Oh, Kendrick's cool, though.
Kendrick's good.
But when I got to 35, I think that was when my new music stopped. And then that was it. Kendrick came after that.
Oh, no. I've got 5 years left. Is that what you're telling me, Kobe?
It is, yeah. Oh, for damn. Me, it's when Zane Lowe left Radio 1, that's when I stopped listening to new music.
Oh, his Apple like show, Apple Radio show, is pretty sick though.
I'm sure it is, but I
don't know. Stop. Yeah.
The day the music dies for Kobe.
Yeah.
I guess the one thing I wanted to bring up is just because I find fascinating is obviously Michael Shannon has always looked like a 45-year-old man, and he's too
in Groundhog Day.
He's 2 years younger than Eminem in real life, which is just
playing
like,
his stepdad. That's insane.
Well, they're supposed to be the same age, right? Because you get it on that.
They went to the same school, didn't they? In the same year.
Yeah. That's Greg Buell. Me and him went to the same school. Yeah. Like he does it in that kind of Sweet Home Alabama rap. Well, yeah. That's all I wanted to say on it.
Well, let's head to the scores, and obviously can they'll talk about other stuff in the interim.
I'm Sam Clements, host of the 90 Minutes or Less Film Festival, another podcast in the Stripped Media family, a podcast that celebrates movies under 90 minutes long. Each episode, I'm joined by a special guest who selects a movie to join our prestigious lineup. Past guests have come from the worlds of film, television, music, food, comedy, and podcasting. Search for us now on the app you're currently listening to this podcast, or join us at 90minfilmfest.com.
So welcome to the FlixWatcher scoring system. All of the scores are out of 5. You can have decimal places if you wish. And we'll start with you, please, Petros, with your recommendability.
I would give this a 4.2. Just on the fact that, like, I can't fully be like, one, I can't say to like, I don't think everyone would like this film. I think there are things in there, like I've mentioned, about the kind of homophobic language and stuff like that, that would put people, especially in 2021. And I don't know, like, but I do think it's great. I think it, for a product of its time and like in that mold of a sports movie, does it like does it really well. I kind of it's the Rocky of rap movies. I'll say that for sure.
All right.
I'm going to give it a 3.9, just because I think for the nostalgia factor, again, I think that's why I would endorse it. But like, yeah, it's, I don't know if you know, at least the people I would recommend it to, that they'd seek it out actively. They'd be like, what are you on about? Why are you watching 8 Mile? but no, yeah, it's definitely, yeah, not for everyone, but I'd give it a solid 3.9 just for all time's sake, for Mom's Spaghetti. In the name of Mom's Spaghetti, I'll give it a 3.9.
Helen?
I'm going to go a little bit lower. I'm going to give it around 3. I think it's kind of interesting, is if you've never seen it and you're kind of like interested to see Eminem acting, then that's probably it. But like, just thinking about films kind of sort of similar but not similar, like the 40-year-old version is on Netflix. And I kind of feel like if someone was to say, what's on Netflix that's kind of like got rap battles in it, I would recommend that over this for people. Just because, I don't know, I just feel as though that was like, feels a little bit fresh. Obviously it's newer, but it kind of feels a bit more my bag. So a solid 3 for me.
Yeah, I think it'd be 3.5, because I think most people who wanted to see it by now would have seen it. Mm-hmm. And if someone said, should I watch this? I'd be like, well, do you like Eminem in any way? Just even in passing. And if you do, I mean, Lose Yourself is the song that most people would know that's his. Yeah. Even like Guilty Conscience and stuff, people won't necessarily know that, will they? But Lose Yourself, people. Won the Oscar. It's like, do you like that song? If you like the song, yeah.
But it's not in the film.
It's an Oscar-winning song. It's an Oscar-winning song, guys.
But most of the songs, most of the Oscar-winning songs, well, a lot of times it's just the song at the end, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm not disappointed by that specifically. it's when it's not part of the song.
Part of the film, yeah.
Like, yeah, of the film, yeah. But they put a crowbar in anyway. Yeah. Repeat viewing score, Petros.
I'm going to have to go lower on this. I would say probably like a 3.2, just because you kind of have to spread out your viewings slightly, because it kind of like it doesn't pack the same punch. And it's that thing of like, there are certain elements of it that I will now be like watching those rap battles very frequently. Do you know what I mean? Because I do enjoy them, and I know there's added ones as well that I think you can find online as nice. Like, and there's they ran a competition that people who are in the crowd were like local rappers and stuff like that as well. And there's Eminem like was supposed to mouth raps against them, but couldn't contain himself when the crowd were cheering, that he actually like does impromptu rap battles on the set of the film and stuff like that, which I'm definitely sure you'll be able to find on YouTube, or if not, a DVD that you'll be able to pick up in CX for like a quid or something like that.
I think I would have quite enjoyed seeing other rap battles that didn't involve Eminem in this. Mm-hmm. You know, just the pre ones before he got on the stage, for example, and the other ones that were in the tournament. It would have been just nice to hear those, to kind of hear the talent.
Yeah.
Other people.
Sort of like to establish the free world as well, don't you think? Like, to see what they've got.
Well, it's weird that like the only people he battles against at the end are, it conveniently is from the same crew. And I don't know, it's kind of a bit like, yeah, even if we got like a kind of Karate Kid style montage of like,
yeah, exactly,
even just
the best lines,
yeah, or like a hip-hop beat plant, yeah, just like boom boom boom, a few different people, because you hear Mekhi Phifer be like, hey, next up we got Slippin' Jimmy and Bobby Joe on the mic.
You're watching too much Better Call Saul, right?
Yeah. Just like, two names that came up.
Ari, repeat viewing,
I would give it a round 2, because I would definitely, it'll take me literally, I think, another, you know, 20 years to see it wild again, just because, yeah, once you've seen it, you've had your fill. It's not something I would seek out. If I wanted to hear Lose Yourself, I would look it up on Spotify, you know, like, or watch, you know, the official music video for it on YouTube or something. But I wouldn't seek out, although I'm a huge fan of Brittany Murphy, so I might, you know, just see it again just for her. But I'd give it to you.
How long of this did she die? I remember it being, I was really shocked by it.
Years after, I think, right? Like early 2000s. Yeah. Which is really sad. She's awesome. And I wish she had some of this, like, you know, some music stuff to do, because she's a brilliant singer. But here she was just like a model or whatever.
I keep thinking that like Brittany Murphy, I feel like if she hadn't tragically passed, could have like had the roles that Lady Gaga has done. Like, I could easily have seen A Star Is Born. Yeah, you even get like that. You know, you get that goofy look that got memed of like when he's like, "I want to take another look at you." Brittany Murphy like kind of does that with Jimmy. You kind of get those like glances that they have between each other. So, like, I want to see a hip hop Star Is Born with Eminem. Well, obviously, it's not going to happen. But Brittany Murphy,
that hip hop one would be quite good.
That would have been perfect.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Eminem would be the older guy, on his way out, and discovering a new star. Yeah. Helen, repeat viewing.
Yeah. So this is like the second time I've seen it. I'm not really in a rush to go back to it. I'll give it a 2-1 for each time I've seen it.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 2 as well. I'll use your exact same logic there. Small screen score. Petros.
Small screen. I've only ever seen it on a small screen, so it's always been, I don't know, a 5, because it's always been, so I've always enjoyed it on a small screen. I would like to see it on a big screen though, because like the cinematography is really interesting. It's got this, it looks like a film that like could have come out in 1995. It's got like a nice like grain to it and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it does work well on the small screen, because if you've got like a few friends round and stuff like that, like it's one of those films where you can kind of like have a little bit of a chit chat and then check back in for the, you can hang out with, you can hang out with the guys, like you can partake in drinking beers or some herbal remedies. Well, if that's your bag, but yeah, I think it's the perfect like small screen film.
Ari,
I think it works for a small screen. I'm going to give it a 4, just because I don't think it'll work like, it'll work in like group settings, but I feel like I had a hard time watching it on my laptop, so I switched it to the TV and I paid attention more. So I think like if you know, other distractions are around you, and they probably will be, I don't think it'll you know, it'll give the film its full respect to watch it. But I'll give it a 4. Yeah, it works. Doesn't fully work. But
Helen.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 4 as well. I think it works on a small screen, but, you know, Curtis Hanson is kind of like, would not have intended you to be watching it for your first time like that. So it is quite cinematic. And I think the kind of the musical scenes kind of add that little bit more when it's a bit more kind of surround sound and a bit loud. Mm-hmm. So if it's going to appear somewhere like the Prince Charles, then, you know, make that your preference. But otherwise, yeah, it's all right. So a 4.
Yeah, it'll be an 8-mile sing-along at the Prince Charles.
Well, I was thinking that, but would it just be the song at the end, which isn't, as Helen says, just in the credits?
Yeah, to the credits, yeah. You'll rap along to the credits.
sorry, you said 4, didn't you, Helen?
Yeah.
I'm going for 4.5. I think I'd like to, I've seen many different bands and people play Lose Yourself live, and I think that's the biggest bit I'd get from the cinematic experience. But you know, I think I'd still enjoy it, and it would be the Prince Charles. You get to the end and everyone just sing Lose Yourself with the lyrics at the bottom would be quite fun. So 4.5.
Throwing spaghetti at the sea.
Oh, mum, spaghetti. Yeah,
spoon.
No, that triggered something. The spoons.
So engagement score, Petros.
This is a difficult one. I don't know. I'm going to go 4, just because, like, if it's on, and because it is that thing where it's like it's backloaded with the like the big battle sequence. It's like, well, if it's on now, I've got to watch it to get to that. Do you know what I mean? So like, I'm going to give it a 4, because I would if I was channel hopping, and I've watched it twice in like the space of a month. So like, right. and I've enjoyed it both times. So like, I'll go with a 4 on engagement score.
Ari,
I'm gonna give it a 4 as well. I started it and I actually paid attention, which was rare for me. I'm gonna give it a 4.
Helen,
A little bit lower for me. I think it kind of dragged a little bit, and we could probably, like Kobe said, like make it a little bit shorter, a little bit snappier. So 3.5.
Yeah, I'm going to 2.5. I think you can kind of lie down on the sofa, press play, and when there's not rapping going on, you can knob about on your phone, on Twitter, Facebook, pay attention when the next rap battle happens. And that gives us an overall score of 3.4565. Pretty much what I thought it would be. Let's head to Twitter, guys. Everyone, do follow us on Twitter. If this is your first time, go follow us. We are at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter. And the main reason to follow us is because every time we do a recording, we put a shout out asking for your your input in a tweet like this. We're reviewing 8 Mile with Kaysen and Pod and Ariane Anandita. Sorry if I've got your name completely wrong there. From Breadcrumbs Pod. Have you seen it? Tell us your thoughts and your score out of 5 stars with an on-air shout-out on Flixwatcher. And we had one response to this, which is from, well, Petros, can you read that response out?
Yeah, so it's from Flix X-Raid, and they said, I still sing his rap too often with my buddies and enjoy it every time. 4 out of 5. Yes, please. He can join my crew.
Strong support from Twitter.
Guys, can you tell us where we can find you online and we can say goodbye to everyone who's listening?
So you can find me at Ariane and Andita on Twitter and Instagram, or at ADTLM podcast on Twitter as well for my podcast, or Breadcrumbs Pod at Breadcrumbs Pod on Twitter.
So you can find me at Caged In Pod on all social media, so it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Letterboxd, as well as you can find the podcast on all the regular places, as well as the breadcrumbscollective.com, where all the kind of the group's podcasts are available as well. It's
awesome.
It's not just a podcast network, it's a family, as our leader Jonathan would say.
It's just watching too much Fast and Furious. Yeah,
that's it.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
Thanks so much for coming on. Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of Flixwatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at Flixwatcher Pod on Twitter, and we're at Flixwatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes, and Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Ben, and that's Rockwood, R-O-K-K Wood Audio. Tell them Flixwatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.